If the Lord would help me, I want to preach on this thought, a king who changed and one who don't. Look what the scripture says. He says that David came to Bahurim. Brother Jeremy, that's outside of the coast. He should be in the palace. But what's happened is he's got a son named Absalom. And Amnon, his half-brother, has forced Tamar to lay with him without her consent. And Absalom has a grudge and he's going to get back at him. He's a grudge holder, Absalom is. He's a whole lot of things that I hope I can point out tonight. I hope there's no grudge holders in here. That stuff will eat you alive. Absalom is a long-haired hippie grudge holder. Sure is. He's mean. He's mad. And for 2 years, he plots and he plans until finally he gets the king to consent to let all of his sons go on a little scurry, a journey, a camping trip. While Amnon is drunken, he kills him, falls on him, and all the other king's sons scatter, and he runs for his life. Finally, God has dealt with King David. God has brought Absalom back to the kingdom. He longed for Absalom. Weep for Absalom. And when Absalom wasn't there, even though Absalom had done wrong, he didn't want to lose another son. See, what was going on in his mind was what was coming back to haunt him. Was what Nathan, that man of God, said, that because he took Uriah's life and because his sin had finally consumed the life of another and stole his wife, his sin was coming back to the chickens, was coming home to roost. So he longed for Absalom. Let me say that Absalom finally, by way of Joab, through another lady, gets brought back into the kingdom, but stays again for 2 years without seeing the king. Absalom tries to get Joab's attention and said, "Would to God I died out yonder. Why don't you send somebody over here to help me?" And he never could get his attention till he set his barley fields on fire. And then he went over to check on him. I'm glad sometimes God will just set your barley fields on fire and get your attention. He sure will. He gets him over there before the king and the king forgives him. But remember, Absalom is subversive. He's a mean feller. He's conniving. You'll find out prior to this text where I read that when he gets in there, according to the Bible, he begins to have, according to 2 Samuel in chapter 15 and verse number 12, Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifice, continued, and the conspiracy was strong. He was conspiring, Absalom was, against his own daddy David. Nathan had preached it happened, and the chickens is coming home to roost. Finally, Brother Jeremy, Absalom begins to shake everybody's hand. He meets them before they go see David. The Bible said his countenance was beautiful. Said his hair was so long that he pulled it and weighed it. Said his hair weighed about 6 to 8 pounds. Oh yeah, long. I preached one time on that long-haired hippie who got hung like a pinata. He sure did. He has rode that old mule of rebellion, that old beast of stubbornness, so long in the wilderness of sin and his own depravity till his long hair got caught inside of the limb of a tree and they stuck him like a pinata and he finally died. And if you keep riding that beast, the burden, that stubbornness and that rebellion, it'll leave you hanging too. Oh, Absalom, thought he had the world by the tail. Before he got hung in a tree, he's figured it out, Brother Ken. I won all their hearts. I've conspired. I've got everybody wanting to follow me. And so the Bible says that he gets a group together. Brother Jeremy, they finally say, hey, Ahithophel, one of David's counselors and some of the other folks, they said, what we want y'all to do is that we want you to come over here. I'm going to declare myself as king. I will make myself king. And David, even though David is a rightful king, David fled with his faithful friends. Some of them Gittites I'd preached about not long ago. Even though he had the rightful throne, even though he was in the place, in the city, and in the country that God had planted and placed him, this backstabbing, divisive little devil called Absalom had conspired and had won the hearts of the men to the point that the Bible puts it like this. Look with me, if you will, in 2 Samuel 15 and in verse 17. And the king went forth and all the people after him, and they tarried in a place that was far off. Why did he do that? Bible tells us, hey, that he took him out yonder in verse 14. David said unto his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us. And here's why he left. And smite the city with the edge of the sword. Boy, that sure does sound familiar. See, let's summarize. King David is leaving to save his people from destruction. Amen. And he's going to go to a far country to get her done. Well, I'm glad we got a king who came down here to save his people. Hey, you know what? It gets even better, Brother Jeremy. The Bible said in verse number 30 that David went up onto a mountain, and the Bible said he went up weeping and barefooted. You say, preacher, what's that a picture of? Well, you tell me. He went up onto a mountain weeping and worshiping and had made his feet get injured so he might seek God's face and accomplish the plan of the Father. Can I say today, I'm glad we have a Savior who did always those things that please him. So here is why King David is running. Because Absalom is trying to kill him. Because he has won the hearts of the people and they are out to kill him. And so now David is leaving with his mighty men. And we're talking about folks that'll take an ox goad and kill hundreds. We talking about people, I just imagine, y'all don't have to imagine like this, but I imagine they's probably about this tall, had arms as big as my legs, walking on both sides of King David, just daring somebody to say something. And here's this little old smart aleck cussing and throwing rocks. That boy ain't got a lick of sense, brother. He ain't got a lick of sense. What is wrong with him? He, I'm telling you, that old boy's something else. Oh, shimmy out. What is he thinking? They will take his head off. And they leave there. Bible said they cross over into a far country. He's a weeping and all of them are with him. And they're seeking God's face. And the Bible says in chapter 16 in verse number 5 that when they came to this place, this city, this country, before they ascend the mountainside, the Bible says this man came out cursing. But notice what they said. They said he is cursing. Now this is, notice this, the clan of the contemptible man. This man is a contemptible cusser. You've got to watch crowd that's always cussing and raising Cain and running their mouth in a wicked way. There's something going on. The Bible said, hey, the man who can't hold his tongue, his religion is vain. This man's cussing. Notice his clan. He's a descendant of Saul. Now that blows my mind. Here's why. Brother Linder, David has already showed favor to Mephibosheth on behalf of Jonathan. And Mephibosheth is normally a king would kill all the descendants of the king that he just took their throne. But not King David. He's a picture of Jesus. He's a man after God's own heart. Instead, he extends mercy. He invites them and adopts them. Lets them sit at the table with him. Hey, but I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter how good a character a man has. Saul had so slandered David that he had wrenched Shimei's thought pattern of this king. And you listen to this preacher. You keep hearing evil tongues and slandering gossip and mouths. It doesn't matter how good somebody's character is. They will slant your opinion on them. And Shimei, even though grace has been shown to his family, is against King David. He said, it's your fault that Saul's dead. You killed him. You bloody man. That's what he said. David spared Saul's life. He didn't kill Saul. Saul fell on his own. He didn't kill him. But I'm going to tell you what's going through David's mind. I didn't kill Saul, but I killed Uriah. I didn't kill Saul. I killed Uriah. And Abishai, the cursing of the contemptible man. In verse 5, says he cursed still as he came. Gives the idea that he wasn't letting up. What was wrong with Shimei? Well, I'll tell you one thing's wrong with him. He had a bad mouth on him. That's one thing's wrong with him. And he cursed still as he come. It almost paints the picture that he wasn't short of wicked words to say to him. He cursed still as he came. Three times it mentions. And verse number 7 says, when he cursed. And verse number 13 says, he cursed. So he's cursing. But look in verse 6 and verse 13. He's casting stones at the mighty man. Then in verse number 7, he's commanding. What in the world's got into Shimei that he thinks he has the right, hey, to curse this man for something that he didn't do, to cast stones at this man and the mighty men with him. Thank God. Listen, and command him. He commanded King David and commanded him, come out, come out. The laws and attitude of the average people in America, not church members, was they want Jesus out of their coast. They don't want nothing to do with God. They don't want nothing to do with him at the schoolhouse. And that's why it's such a mess. Come out, come out. Get away from here. Get out from here. That's his attitude, as if he has the right to say anything. But isn't it something? That the very man he is cursing is saving his life. And that's the way it is today. People ain't got sense enough to know that God could kill them with one aneurysm. He could kill them in a minute. But the very one they're taking his name in vain and cursing. And I'm sad to say I was in that crowd. And I'm telling you, that's saying, hey, I'm talking about God is a sparing. Thank God our heavenly King spared our life when we cursed his name, when we run him down. Listen, he called him the son of Belial, called him Belial. They did that to Jesus. Said he's Beelzebub. Said he had the spirit of Beelzebub. Said everybody with him was the sons of Belial. And it won't nothing to do with Jesus. And they didn't want nothing to do with King David. Oh, listen to me, charged him. Bloody man, you're guilty. But what's going on in his mind? He's saying, well, look what Abishai said. Abishai said, that little fella ain't nothing. It's one thing to call somebody a dog. Anybody in here ever had a run in with a pit bull? I have. I was running and he was running after me. I was gone, buddy. About halfway to my car, I was trying to think how I could turn around and pop him in. I was trying to figure out what I'm going to do. I might do something. But I've seen them hit them with two befores, and it didn't faze them. So I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. And something got a hold of his attention. And I was sure glad. I think it was the Holy Ghost. I might have been an angel. Some raised a sword at him or something. I don't know what it was. But I was scared to death, bro. I was running as fast as I could. I've been out there with them old Great Danes and my neighbors. And they just, just a slobber. Looked like they want to get you. And I just rocked them. Philly finally just went on down there. I couldn't even go by them and cut my grass. Act like I was going to jump over the fence, bite my head off. And after I rocked them a few times, they realized, can't mess with this one. Brother, I'm telling you, listen, it's one thing to be called a dog. But you know what Abishai called him? He said, hey, King David, you want me to go kill that dead dog? A dead dog can't fight back. A dead dog ain't got no hope. A dead dog's going to get his head cut off. He said, I tell you what, I'll just go decapitate him. I'll go take his head off. He's a dead dog. He's as good as dead. He's a barking. He's a making a lot of racket. He's cussing and throwing stones. I tell you what, King, let me go kill him. Here's the guilty man in that text. Look at 2 Samuel 16, 10 through 12. The king said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which come forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone. Let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. You know what David did? He showed mercy. Hey, and he didn't quit. If y'all keep reading in our text, look at verse 17. He keeps cussing, starts throwing rocks. The Bible says in this text that he threw dust on them. That idea is to dust like you dust a plant. He dusted him down. He looked like a tomato plant after you put the dust on it. Brother, he dusted him, rocked him, cussed him. And when David spared his life, he kept on cussing. Man, what a king. What a picture of God. That's exactly what kind of mercy and grace he had toward us. The guilty was spared. Though he deserved death, David forbid it. Look at this gracious, guilty man. But look at this gracious monarch. The scene changed. Over, the fight's over with Absalom. He rode that beast of rebellion, hung himself. Old long-haired hippie's done now. The king returns. Flip over to 2 Samuel. Chapter number 19. Absalom's dead. The mighty men, the Gittites, y'all remember the Gittites is one of them that went with him. They, that crowd that said, David, I tell you what, if you up on the throne or you in the cave, we. If you up or it's down, we. If the crowd's for you or the crowd's against you, we. That's them Gittites. You remember what your eye was, don't you? That's them Gittites, brother. They said, we. We know what you did to your eye. But we love you, King David. We for you. We going we. And they finally coming back. Coming back to get his throne. And the Bible says in 2 Samuel 19, look in verse 16. In Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which is of Bethlehem, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons, 20 servants with him. And they went before over Jordan before the king, and there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the same cussing one. Y'all do remember Shimei, don't you? The cussing one. The contemptible cusser. the one that blamed David for killing Saul when it was Saul that could have killed him multitude of times but spared him. When it was not Saul that showed mercy, but it was David who showed mercy. And it was David who kept his head on his shoulders. And he, even though he did it, he still cussed him. Man, that's a picture of this war. Here he is. He's meeting him now. Verse number 18. And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Zerah, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan and said unto the king, let not my lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did adversely the day that my lord king, hey, my lord the king, my hey, boy, it's sounding like a confession sinner went out of Jerusalem, had that the king should take it to his heart. He said, for thy servant, boy, he's done made him Lord, had made himself servant. He said, for thy servant doth know. Look, watch this. Business is going to pick up for everybody that'll get right here. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Look what he said, 2 Samuel 19, verse 20. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Boy, business is picking up. Hey, he just thought he got mercy. Hey, he was just long-suffering, but he's gracious too. He said, I've sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my Lord, the king. But Abishai, that mighty man, y'all remember him, the son of Zariah, answered, said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed? And David said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zariah, that ye should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this king, this day king over Israel? Verse 23. Therefore the king said unto Shimei, thou shalt not die. And the king swear unto him. He deserved to die. He was guilty. He was caught red-handed. But he was long-suffering to him. But now he's come. And he's greeted him on this side of the shore. And he's bowed before him. He hid his face to the dirt. And he said, I've sinned. Please don't remember it. Please don't let iniquity be put on my account. Oh, have mercy on me. You're the Lord. You're the king. I'm your servant. And the Lord said, Abishai, you're not killing this man. Oh no, hallelujah. And he swore to Shimei that he would not die. What a gracious king. The king, because he confessed, because he fell down at his feet, the king spoke to Shimei, thou shalt not die. Forgiveness is wonderful. You ever been on that end of it? Whew. I mean caught, busted, red-handed. You remember that day when God got you under conviction? And he knew stuff about you. And you started confessing, and nobody else didn't even know. But he clicked the light on. And you got clean. I mean, you confessed it. You said, probably said somewhere in your prayer, or at least thought it, I've sinned. And he's recognized him as Lord, recognized him as King. I'm glad every sinner, no matter what you've done, when you recognize the only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when you bow before his lordship and confess your own sinfulness, it won't matter how many people know your wickedness. Abishai knew it. All them mighty men knew it. The whole group that was with him knew it. But they also saw the change. They saw the conviction. They saw and heard the confession. And they saw the monarch, the king, be gracious. I'm so glad for grace today. So the king was gracious. And I love that story. What a picture of Jesus. But here's where it changes. Look with me in your Bible and turn over 1 Kings 2. 1 Kings 2. When I hit this in my yearly reading, it stuck out to me a few weeks ago, and I ain't been able to get over it. We've seen the guilty man that was spared. He deserved death, but David forbid it. And he kept cussing the very one that was being long-suffering and sparing his life. We see after everything's over, why, sure, everybody would want forgiveness now. But brother, he wasn't just asking forgiveness. He was confessing his sinfulness. He admitted everything. He fell on his face. You can tell it wasn't just for show. It wasn't just to slight the king. It wasn't like Absalom just trying to get in to start a conspiracy. This man was honest. Let me tell you something. It'd do you good to get honest with the Lord. Just, you're going to have to get honest, get past all your little false profession, and get real with God, and God will have mercy and grace on you. Here, the last thing I want to point out is a ghastly murder. King David is winding up his life. 30 years later, 30 years down the road, 30 years after. Notice what he said. 1 Kings 2, verse 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and shew thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments, his judgments, his testimonies, that it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way and walk before me in truth with all their heart, with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, that is, said God, a man on the throne of Israel. Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me and what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner, the son of Ner, and unto Amasa, the son of Jethir, whom he slew and shed the blood of war in peace and put the blood of war upon his girdle and was about his loins and his shoes that were on his feet. Do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his hoar head go down to the grave in peace, but shew kindness unto the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at thy table. For so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother. Here it is, verse 8. All of David's life, the sweet psalmist of Israel, his life has been a harmony of grace and mercy. Even when he fell with Bathsheba, he couldn't live with himself. His bed turned into a pool of tears. And he couldn't sleep, he couldn't rest till his fellowship was restored. And David, even at his young age, hazarded his own life just to save one sheep from a bear and one sheep from a lion. He is truly a man after God's own heart. This cusser deserved to die. He was guilty of what? And Abishai would have easily cut his head off, but he had mercy and long suffering, and he showed grace to him when he confessed it. And when he cleared up the record, he said, I swear to you, I'm giving you my word that you shall not die. And the Bible said he swore to him. But look what the text said. And behold, verse 8, 1 Kings 2, 8, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gerai, a Benjamite of Bahurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse, and the day when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now therefore, hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man, and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him. But his hoar head bring thou down to the grave with blood. So David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. I say this was a ghastly murder. David had sworn to the man when he confessed that he said, thou shalt not die. He even reiterates it to Solomon. A little bit later, Solomon is going to have mercy on this man, seemingly. He's going to give him a house on the border. He's going to have a few servants. But Shimei has already started looking like our gracious king. And when two of his servants run and escape and go to Gath, he goes after them. Even though Solomon said, stay inside your city and don't go out of it. But he said, I've got to put my life at risk so that I can spare my servants from the awful death they'll receive at Gath. And he did not spare his life, but he did spare their life. And he brought them back. And the Bible said, according to our text, the Bible says that he did die in 1 Kings 2 and verse 36 through 46, that Solomon had him killed. David said, I don't want you to let Shimei live. I want you to kill him. And the thought crossed my mind. He had a harmony of grace. His life was a picture of Christ, but he just lost that picture in the last moments of his life. I don't want to end up like that dove. I don't want to run well. I don't want to live right. I don't want to serve God. And then in my last moments, foul a ball and miss the mark and make a mess and ruin the harmony of my life. Now, I know there's a picture there that you're going to, if you're lost, you're going to have to pay for your sin. And because he didn't obey Solomon, that's why he died. No, no. King David said, none of that negates what King David said. And King David said, I will not kill you. That's what King David said. The final request of this great king was one of the most disappointing thing in all of David's history. In fact, probably the history of the nation of Israel. He forgave an offender, but he did not. Somebody who offended him, somebody who cursed him, somebody who shamed him. He forgave him, and he forgave him. For 30 years later, he's still holding a grudge. And he says, Solomon, don't let him live. Don't let him just get old, bring that old gray, that hoary hair down to his death. Kill him. Smite him where he lives. You'll know what to do. Listen to me. I'm glad. You say, preacher, maybe he was unfaithful. Oh, no. Take your Bible. Take your Bible. Turn over to 1 Kings, chapter number 1. I got pages coming out of my Bible. 1 Kings, chapter 1, and verse number 8. Adonijah was another one of David's sons that began to proclaim when David got sick on his deathbed. He began to say, well, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to take the weakness of my daddy. And Absalom failed. But where Absalom failed, I will succeed. And Adonijah said, I don't care what I've heard about Solomon going to be king. I'm going to be king myself. And so he gathered another conspiracy. And the Bible said in verse number 8, but Zadok the priest and Benaniah the son of Joiada and Nathan the prophet and Shimei and Reiah and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. You know what Shimei did? He proved himself faithful. He proved himself steady. He proved himself, thank God. Hallelujah. But somehow or another, the tune, the harmony, the mercy, the grace that David had expressed as a picture of Christ has lost its tune. He failed to carry the note in its last moments. God, I don't want to do that. That's why when I die, Jeremy, I want y'all to run my dead carcass one more time around this church. I want my dead body. I want that old tabernacle to make one more laugh. I want to go out of here faithful and gracious and merciful but steady. Shimei was a loyal man. So what we have in our text is a king that changes. But I got good news today. Turn to Jeremiah 31. Hallelujah. I love the book of Hebrews. Tony read it today. We have a better sacrifice. We have a better high priest. Whoop! Can I just go on record and say? Can I go on record, Brother Doug, and say, we got a better king?
That's right.
Hallelujah. This king forgave but did not forget. He recalled it back in detail. It's like it stuck in the forefront of his mind. Oh, he may have forgave them, but he's going, I wonder if you forgave some people. But every time you see them, you think about how they done you wrong. You better watch out. You might not hold that tune when you get down. See, the older you get and the last moments of life, you can't hold back those emotions and you can't hide how you really feel. It's going to come out. That's why some people talk about old men being grumpy. Hey, they've hid it for years, but it's coming out now. Hear what I'm saying. I want to tell you, I want to be so sweet that I can't even walk outside in the rain. I just go to melt. I'm telling you, I want to be so strong that I won't back down on nothing, but be so sweet about it that I tell the truth in love and they can't even get mad at me. Y'all with me in Jeremiah 31? Look over with me in verse 34. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. I got a better king. Woo! I got a better king. I sit around for you. I got a better king. My king's better. Hey, that's why I've got peace in my heart. That's why we have security. That's why we have joy. Thank God our king does not change. He will not change. Hallelujah. We got a better king. Our king's forgiveness never changes. And even though Shimei proved faithful, we don't always prove faithful. But our king, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Brother Jeremy, the precious blood of Jesus washed my sins, made me as white as snow. I've got true forgiveness. Do you know he says in Malachi, yeah, that he bear 7, verse 18 and 19, that he buried my sins in the depths of the sea. It don't say sea of forgetfulness. That's what the song says. That ain't what the book says. Now, I don't have nothing against it, except that it ain't necessarily right. Hey, what are you saying, preacher? Because I read about this new heaven, new earth, that there's no going to be no more sea. That means no more place to bury sins. The burial place for your sins are gone. You know they always say bury the handle. That's because a lot of people bury the axe, bury the hatchet, but the handle's still sticking up. I tell you what the Lord does. He buries your sin in the depths of the sea, the bottomless fathoms of the sea. It cannot be retrieved. There's a buoy on top of it that bounces back and forth and says, no diving devil. Hey, it can't be buried. But one day, he's going to remove the sea. There'll be no more sea. Hey, glory to God. Hey. He said, I will remember your sins and iniquities no more. We have a better king. I reckon that's why God let that story be in the book. Just to realize, because there's a lot of people worship King David, that we got a better king. Amen. So what king are you serving? You serving one that's going to turn on you? His name's, he thinks he's a king. He's a little G god of this world. He thinks he's running something. He ain't running near as much as he thinks. Yeah. If you serving that king, he'll turn on you, friend. Y'all remember that Egyptian? When they burnt David's home place? Yeah. And when he got wounded, that devil's crowd just discarded him. And he burned down David's house, Ziklag. Took all of them captive. He is in on the busting party, the burning party. And he ought to got judgment sure enough. But there he is again, showing grace. Bring that boy some bread. Give him some water and wine. Woo! We gonna take care of him. When the devil's crowd discards him, we'll just come by and pick him up. We like them used to's. We like them has-beens. We like them, them ones that's got tattoos for hair, tattoos for mustaches. There ain't an inch left on that boy's body. Hey, I preached to him in the jail before. Thanks be unto God. Now he's coming to the hot dog stand. Thank God. He's gonna leave with something better than mustard and ketchup. One blessed day. Hey, man! God knows what he's doing. I'm just glad I got a better king. You gonna serve that kind of king? That'll discard you? When you get saved and you quit running Romans 13 to the same excess of right that crowd does, they'll quit calling you to come over. They don't want you at the racetrack. You're going to mess up their little Bud Dumber drinks. They don't want you over there. They don't want you hagging them on. Yeah. Hey. They don't want you over there watching the Tar Heels get stomped. Or win. I forgot we got a fan. They don't want you over there when the UK loses. Or wins. They don't care. They don't care about who's in the Final Four. They just getting together to get drunk. And when you quit doing what they're doing, they gonna quit calling you. No more nachos for you, buddy. No more dipping your cheese in. No more putting your fingers in the same bowl they put their nasty fingers in to get you some peanuts. No more for that. They're done with you. You don't run like they run. Act like they act no more. They'll discard you like a cheap deck of cards. Yes, they will. But there'll be a crowd that'll come along and take you up. Hey, let's go to church tonight. Amen. You won't serve that king? You won't serve yourself? Do you know that you've done yourself wrong more than you think God's done you wrong? God ain't never done you wrong. But we sure do like to blame him. Bible says, man sin when he's drawn away of his own lust. Devil ain't even showed up yet. He's done drawn away of his own lust. Then he's enticed. That's what the devil does. Hey, sin bringeth forth death. The wages of sin is death. You're going to serve yourself. I tell them over at jail all the time. I say, how good is that going for you? Oh, never mind. I can see. Everybody got the same old ugly orange flip-flops on. Got that striped outfit on. Hey, good news, y'all. They ain't changed the outfits that you wore last time you was in here. I mean, ain't no sense sugarcoating it. I'll just plow it straight over. Amen. I'll say, look, hey, there ain't no sense. Some of you got your crazy flip-flops, orange flip-flops. Who would even pick that? Oh, never mind. I know y'all wouldn't pick it. That's why you won't run with them. But you got them tied up with a shoestring. got them uniforms y'all got used to be black and white. Now they're dark gray and light gray. It smells like death in here, like some of y'all ain't took a bath in 14 years. The aroma in here's not potpourri, it's armpit. It ain't changed since y'all was here the last time. Hey, listen to me. How's living for yourself working? It ain't working good. Say, well, you shouldn't preach like that. Well, they keep getting saved. I'm going to keep preaching like that. Amen. Amen. Here's what I'm saying. Young people, how's it working for you? I'm telling you. I'm going to tell you, I remember. I was miserable living for myself. But the Bible says we just did it because that's nature. I tell you what I do. I junk Satan King. I junk self king. I junk society and status king. Don't worry, they'll turn on you on Facebook and write you off too. They'll put every wicked, ungodly picture they can about you. Yes, sir, they'll turn on you. I praise y'all, praise you. Mark Zuckerberg, I wouldn't do nothing. If he's gone, Lord, hit me, Jesus. I'm going to tell you what I'd do. Cut it off. Amen. You know what I found out about Facebook? I've been waiting on the opportunity to give this out, brother. Here's what I found on Facebook. Nosy people, negative status, never-ending problems, no account solicitation for somebody to come over and have an affair. I tell you what I seen, flirters, fornicators. I don't need none of that mess. Everybody okay? Everybody okay? Take a deep breath. It's still preaching time. I'm telling you, God help us. Lord have mercy. Amen. I hope they tear him up at Congress tomorrow. Amen. Call him back. Amen. Amen. Here's what I'm saying. You ever got on there? It just felt like saying, wow, glory to God. I'm closer today than I was before I read that. No. Sure ain't. I tell you what, you can get in this book and get you some help. Yeah. Amen. Right. Put your face in that book. Amen. Amen. I know. Make some people mad. But if they really love you, they won't have to check. See what time you go to the grocery store. They won't care. They won't care if you post your status today. They'll just be glad to hear, as Paul was said, I just want to let y'all know, Thessalonians, everywhere I go, I'm running into y'all's testimony. They didn't have internet, TV, emails. They didn't have social media. And Paul said, everywhere I go, I hear about y'all turning from idols to serve the living God. Boy, I'm telling you, it's noise abroad. Woo! I just want to let y'all know y'all are helping this old preacher. I know y'all are helping me. Hey, I tell you what, when I preach to you, you didn't receive it as my word, but as it is in truth, the word of God, that when you accepted it, it effectually worked in you. Boy, I can see the difference. I hear it noise abroad. Amen, preacher. Come on, Jacob. I got a call invitation before we lose everybody. If I don't tell them, nobody will. You know what I love? Serving the King who don't change. Jeremiah said, he'll remember your iniquities no more. Isn't that all that Shimei asked? I'm guilty. I've sinned. But I'm asking you. And he fell on his face. He said, don't remember my sins no more. Don't remember my iniquity. I've sinned. And David said, woo! Don't kill him, Abishai. I swear unto you, you shall not die. But he changed. I have a king who won't change. That gives me such a peace. When I'm about half backslid as a billy goat, he just keeps on loving me. When me knowing that I'm going to have to face the music one day, you'd think that would cause me to repent. But you know what it is, Brother Tony? He moves toward me when I'm moving away from him. He's the goodness of God makes me want to repent. There's ought to be a peace in your heart, a sense of safety. I sense you can go out there, hang on a wet noodle over the pits of hell with a water pistol, squirt the demons in the eyeball, stick out your tongue and say, "Whoa, I'm heaven bound with a hammer down. Nothing ought to bother you, phase you. You're 10 foot tall and bulletproof till God wants something for you to happen to you. And what's the worst they can do? Take your life? They can't throw your soul in hell. So what they're saying is, and denounce Jesus or I'm going to shoot you. So let me get this right. You're going to promote me to heaven if I... Do you need a side view? Which way would you like me to stand? Woo! We're heaven bound, church. Let's rejoice about a king who does not change. He said, I am God. I change not. He's the only king that's going to still be standing when he burns the world and we walk in the